Scripture affirmation today comes from Hosea, in the final chapter, and all nine verses. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon.
His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon.
They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them?
For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein.
O Lord, help us to walk in your ways this day. Walk with us. Be with us this day. Allow us to experience your presence. Allow us to experience the reality of who you are and whose we are. Lord, we need you, and we thank you that you are available to us and that we can return to you. Have your way in our hearts, minds, and souls. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's truly so amazing. It's amazing what he does in us. It's amazing what he does around us. It's amazing what he does through us. God is good, and he loves us in ways that are so incomprehensible to us. It's hard to grasp, but sometimes when we look in the Word of God, when we look in the Word of God and see what he has done with others, it gives us just a foretaste of what he can do with us. He can do great things with us. He can do great things through us if we just cooperate with him. He is good, and his grace is so amazing. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your amazing grace. It's by grace we're saved, and it's amazing that you would even care enough to save someone like me. Oh God, today would you speak to us that we might grasp how desperately we need you and how amazingly you want us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to call you to repentance. I want to be clear. Sometimes, you know, we're not clear enough about what we're doing. I want you to be able to be in a position where you can turn. that you can turn from anything that would keep you from knowing God better, that you can turn from anything that would keep you stained and not fit to be in the company of saints. Today, we are going to have communion where we together are agreeing that God is our King. We're together agreeing that Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life, and we are agreeing that the blood that he shed at Calvary, the blood that was spilled on the cross, the blood that seeped out of his body, allowing him to die totally, thoroughly die, that blood paid the penalty of my sin. It paid the penalty of your sin. And you can't say that I have no sin, because if you say you have no sin, you make him a liar, and your word is not, his word is not in you. His blood was enough. But you know, it wasn't just some transactional kind of thing. This one that died and was put in a borrowed tomb got up again. He got up, he rose, and now he is ever present for us. He is ever present for us. He went to heaven and sent us the Spirit of the living God. And all those that know Jesus can have the Spirit of the living God, so that we would have the power to live, the grace that it takes for us to exist in this place. God is good. And he did that in Hosea's time. Israel at this time was actually a very prosperous place. It was a place where really a lot of good stuff seemed to be happening on the outside. They looked good. But on the inside, they were as rotten as dead men's bones. They were messed up. And he needed to explain to them that you guys are just like fallen prostitutes. You don't even know how bad off you are. So he gave this man to be a living picture of how it was. And he had Hosea marry a loose woman. He married this woman, and she cheated on him and did wrong and did all of that. And even after all of that, he called her back to himself and said, let's start fresh and have a relationship of love. And here we are at the end of this book, verse 1 in chapter 14. It says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Come on back. Come on back to me. I love you. Come on back to me. You're the one that I care for. Come on back to me. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You know what caused you to fall? It wasn't something out there. It wasn't those people. It was something that you did. You were guilty. And that's the challenge for us today. None of us wants to say, I did it. I'm guilty. You know? You ever break something and say, oh, this thing just fell apart? No, wait a minute. Were you holding it when it fell apart? Oh, now, Susan, I don't think you should blame Susan when it's probably your fault. But that you know, it's just an amazing thing that God has nailed us here, saying we are the guilty ones. I have a hard time saying it's my fault. Unless it's good. Now, if it was good, of course, I was behind it all. I was the whole inspiration for it if it was good. But if something burns on the stove, oh, the phone rang. It wasn't my fault. I was distracted. Anyway, so I could go on with that. But it's your sin that separates you from God. Please don't make any mistake about that. It's your sin that keeps you from knowing God better. It's your sin that keeps you from experiencing the greatness and wonder of God. God wants to do amazing and wondrous things in your life, but your sin can keep you from experiencing His good. Verse 2. What do you do when you find yourself wanting to come back, but you're not quite sure what to do? He says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto Him. We a lot of times we focus in on our actions, on our physical actions. And we think it's okay if we just show up. But here he's saying, you need to speak it. You need to believe it. This needs to be coming out of your inner being. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto Him, take away all iniquity. The only one that can cleanse you from sin is God. The only one that can fix you is God. You can't fix yourself. Admit it. If you could fix yourself, you'd have been fixed a long time ago. Admit it. If you could get it right, you would have did it a long time ago. Who wants to go through all the mess that you've had to go through? Who wants to deal with all of the stuff you've had to deal with? No. You would have fixed it if you could fix it. If you could have found somebody to fix it, you would have fixed it. But you haven't. And the only way that you can be cleansed of that sin is not to bury it in the ground, not to turn your back on it, not to do any of those things, but you are to take away, you are to go to God and say, take away my sin and receive me graciously. And when I say graciously, it's because It's by grace I'm saved through faith, and that not of myself. It's a gift. Father, I'm coming to you for the gift that you have for me. I'm coming to you not on the merit, not on the fact that I have earned it, not on the fact that I've been a good boy, not on the fact that I am so handsome, not on the fact that I'm so righteous. I'm coming to you because you are so gracious. You are so good. You are so nice. You are so wonderful. You are God, God alone, and you are the one who determines what and who I am. Receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. I love that in the King James. Calves of our lips. Yeah, what's he talking about, cows from my mouth? We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the fact that we have to admit that we aren't all that, but you are everything, Father. There is none other like you, and we worship you. There is none other like you, and we praise you. There is none other like you, and we are thankful. There is none other like you. You're the only answer. You're the only way. We praise you. We worship you. Worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness. We worship you because you are, and you're a rewarder of them who diligently seek you. We worship you. Worship the Lord because he's worthy. Worship the Lord. There's none other like him. Worship the Lord. I will do it all by myself if you won't, because he's worthy of God. He's worthy, God. He's worthy of our worship. So we will render the worship. Asher shall not save us. No country's going to come in and help us. No country's going to come in and fix us. Nobody from the outside is going to be able to get this done. Nobody is going to be able to deal with this. We will not ride upon horses. We're not going to get some type of vehicle that will allow us to suddenly become victorious. There's nothing out there that will save us. There's nothing out there that we can use as protection. There's nothing out there that will give us that competitive advantage. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. We can't bow down to the stuff that we constructed and say, look how great that is. Oh, we're just going to fall down and worship. We want the idols of this world, the idols that have been created, the idols that we bow down to, those aren't good enough. You ever look around and wonder if this thing could save you? Maybe another $3 an hour, that'll save you. Maybe a new car, that'll save you. Oh, if I could just get out of this house and into the country, that'll do it. Maybe if I just found a new mate, well, that'll certainly do it. New mate won't get it. You may think that's enough for you, but if this one's broken, the next one will be worse. All these things that we worship, all these things that we were brought up to believe were the things that would save us, cannot save us. It's not some thing out there. It is our God. It says, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. So many of us have broken families. Now, there's lots of different ways to be broken. Some of us are broken because we've lost our mate. They've died. Some of us are broken because we wish we could kill our mate. Some of us are broken because of things that were done to us that we're still reacting to 30, 40, 50 years later. Some of us are broken for all kinds of different reasons. This world is a hard place. This world is a difficult place. This world allows us to experience things that are too hard for us. Maybe not for you, but they are for me. If I didn't have God to lean on, if I didn't have God to go to, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what lost people do. Maybe I've been saved too long, but it's hard for me to understand when you have no help, no assistance, no nothing to turn to, no hope to to call upon but these transient things that come and go and come and go. I need something that is steadfast and forever. I need someone who loves me. I need someone who understands me and loves me anyway. I need the grace of God. What an amazing grace that is. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. God's saying, I'm going to fix that. It seems unfixable. Have you ever felt unfixable? Sometimes I felt just too broken. You know, like, because I'm always breaking things. I have a knack. I don't just break things so you can put them back together. My wife can break something and she can put it all back together and find all the pieces, man. I've got cups that I've like dropped a plate on and she's resurrected that cup. And I'm thinking, that's amazing. See, because I'm used to breaking things so badly that there's no hope for them. But there's hope for us. There's hope for us because the one who spoke us into existence knows how to fix us. The one who spoke us into existence knows how we hurt, knows what we're going through, knows the stuff that's going on. And even as he cries because of the stuff that's going on in our life, he knows he's going to resurrect us. Remember Jesus? Outside the tomb of Lazarus, there he is. And people are so upset and everything. And Jesus wept. Jesus, what are you crying about? You're about to raise this man up. Everybody's going to pat you on the back. They're going to love you. Because of the current strife that the people were going through, you see, just because the end's going to be good doesn't mean it doesn't hurt in the middle. The end's going to be good. Jackie's getting ready to have a baby. Demerol is your friend, Jackie. And all the women are just like, oh, yes. Because there's pain in what will turn out to be a wonderfully good thing. We've got all these babies running around, and it's a wonderful thing. But just think if we had stopped at the pain they cause. Oh, that baby's gonna cause pain. I'm not having that. That baby, it's gonna be difficult. I'm not dealing with that. No, we don't stop there because there was a hope. There was a realization that on the other side of the pain, there would be beauty, there would be joy, there would be something to look forward to that's so absolutely, wondrously amazing. Yes, it's going to be good, and your life does not end at this painful moment. It goes on. Some of us may feel pain till death. But if you know Jesus Christ, there's another side to that. But I am so bold as to believe that some of us will pass through that pain here and be able to go on with joy and peace, go on with a sense of God's goodness, will be able to go on. He's going to heal our backsliding. He's going to love us freely. Freely he loves us. Freely he gives us his grace. Freely he provides for us. Freely he empowers us. Freely he is calling us this day to be with him to experience that joy. Why? Because his anger is turned away from him. He turns away his anger from our sin. Listen, we all need to recognize all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he's turned away from that. He wants us to experience him, so we give him that free profession from our mouth. We tell him that yes, we failed, but we want to return. We want to come to him. We want to be known by him. We want to live with him. We want to learn to love him. We want to be empowered to be with him. We need him, and he tells us that if we come to him, he will in no wise cast us out, because frankly, we couldn't have come to him if he hadn't drawn us. I will be as the dew unto Israel. It's really neat early in the morning to be out in the field or high grass and to see the dew resting on the plants. And that is providing for those plants. It's watering those plants, but it's doing it in such a gentle way. And God wants to gently provide for us, gently empower us, gently love us. It's like a soft touch from a lover. It's like an encouragement from a friend. It's like medicine from a doctor. He wants to heal us with his dew, with his presence. He'll be like the lily in this case could be a number of different kinds of plants, but there's a fragrance to being in a garden. I like being in gardens. Isn't it cool to be out in the dirt, in a garden that has just a wonderful smell, just a wonderful sense as you're there, and everything smells so alive and smells so good. He will be grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. But he reminds us that the strength isn't what's above ground that everybody can see. It's what's dug down deep. It's what we have allowed to be nourished. We're like trees on a shore next to a healthy river, and our roots go down deep, and we're fed well, and we will grow up into an amazing thing. But what allows us to go up is what has already gone down. God wants you to grow deep in your life, to allow your roots to grow deep, allow your roots to be strong, allow you to have a life that is amazing. They that dwell under his shadow, those that are covered by God, think of the heat of the day and just with a nice breeze, and you're sitting under a big tree and you're covered by his shadow. And it's wonderful. They shall revive as the corn, shall grow as the vine. It's a rich life. He's offering you a rich, rich life where you produce well. Well, what comes out of you is goodness. What comes out of you is self-control. What comes out of you is faith, and you're able to last. What comes out of you is peace. What comes out of you is joy, and what comes out of you is a love so amazing. Oh, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? Why do I need anything else to keep me? Why do I need any other thing? God saying, I don't want to talk about that anymore. We're done with that. That's not where we're at. Listen, that's the past. We're done with that. You recognize that I am your only source. We're done with the past. You recognize that I'm the one who loves you. We're done with all of that. We give all that away. We're done with that. What have I to do with idols? I have heard him. Have you heard him? Have you heard him? Really, do you know that you know that you know that he's calling you? Do you know that you know that you know he's drawing you? He wants to cleanse you from all of this sin that so easily besets us. He wants you to escape that weight that we so often feel. He wants you to be able to get away from that, even in the midst of that. The world's going crazy, but you're like that little bird in the side of a mountainside, or a cliffs, while the wind and the waves are raging all around, but they're relaxed. Because you got them. God has them. What shall I have to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. I'm the one that's fertile. From me is thy fruit found. All right, who of you is wise? Are you wise? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Are you wise? Who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent. Do you choose to do it God's way? You see, your way is not his way. You got to do it God's way. Too often we do stuff our way and then ask God to bless it. Maybe it'd be a good idea if we did it his way and watch him bless it. Trust him to bless it. And he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. And the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors, they're going to fall. And some of us have fallen a few times, and we know how much that hurts. Some of us have fallen a few times, and we know how difficult that can be. So this is the day, this is the time. This is the day, this is the time. You repent of your sin. Turn away from your sin. God is calling you. Now, sometimes we think it's just for really this horrible sinners that everybody can see what's going on. But some of you know that there's stuff in your life that needs to be dealt with. You need to say no to. There are things that are in your life that are not right, and you need to say no more. You're not going to be satisfied, even if it's a little thing. You ever get a little splinter in your finger? It's just a little thing. But you know, you spend all day, if you have to, trying to get that thing out. It's time to get it out. I told you, I'm calling you to repentance this day. Will you be clean this day. Will you return to him this day? Would you bow your head with me? Starts with making sure that you know him and that you can return to him because, well, you're with him. You've been with him. And so you might want to pray a prayer like this. Dear Father, I am so glad that I can call you Father. I can call you Father because you've helped me to truly believe. I confess with my mouth, I agree with you about me, and I agree with you about you. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart. It's not just a mental thing. Even the demons can do a mental thing. But I believe it in my heart. And I want your word, the truth I have learned from you, to affect every aspect of my life. I'm asking, Lord, that today you would change me, and you would heal me spiritually, physically, mentally, that you would change me this day. I admit something's not the way that even I think it should be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, my Savior, for changing me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today is your day. At any time, you can come to the altar. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you just want to pray yourself. Maybe you want to stay in your seat and pray. But make no mistake, you need to be right with the Lord. Let him work in you this day. Let him touch you this day. The altar is open for you to come this day. And while you're considering that, I will pass out the elements for us to have communion. You're saying, when you take the Lord's Supper, that I am right with God, that I am confessed up, that I am clean before him. And we don't take communion lightly. We don't take the Lord's Supper lightly. This is serious business. But if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin right now and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the opportunity is for you right now to be cleansed. And while the guys sing, I'm going to pass out the elements. Feel free to come to the altar. Don't let anything stop you. Not embarrassment, not confusion, nothing. Not the moment. more important to be right with God than to look right.